From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Cairns. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. In this podcast, I have Aaron Edwards with me, and we're going to talk about the business of WordPress. Sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy the show. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here. And today I'm here with my guest, Aaron Edwards. How are you today, Aaron?
Hi there, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Oh, always a pleasure. Let's jump in real quickly. You've got a multitude of experience in the WordPress space, which is absolutely awesome. What's your WordPress origin story? How did you find WordPress?
Yeah, I started with WordPress. I think it was like version 2.6 back in like 2007 2008. I really found it because I was trying to kind of build my own like website as a service platform, kind of like wordpress.com, and so I discovered what was called WordPress multi-user back then, now multi-site. That was kind of my first like introduction to WordPress, because I wasn't really interested in like having a blog at that point, but started like launching my own like kind of multi-site network, and then started learning to do development, so plugin development and things like that, specifically for that niche. And that was kind of my introduction, and then I became kind of full-time WordPress developer, and was working with WPMU Dev for like 12 years or 13 years. I'd been with them and eventually became CTO there for the last decade. And so now more recently, I've been kind of diving into more building my own products and things like that. I launched a plugin SaaS for WordPress called Infinite Uploads, which is basically allows you to easily connect to cloud storage to have infinite storage space and CDN and stuff. So that was kind of my first like personal product, and more recently been doing a lot of things, building products and things with AI, both for WordPress and for just general like software as a service, you know.
Is there's a big difference between doing client work, between working for a company like WPMU Dev, like that's a whole new ball, and then jumping into doing your own plugins. That's like three separate real entities, right? Don't they all have their own intricacies and challenges a little bit?
Right, for sure. Like I first started doing just some projects, you know, as a freelancer for clients, and really wasn't a fan of that. So luckily pretty early, I was able to join WPMU Dev as a developer, and that was able to really focus on what I love, which is like the building and coding part, not the interacting with customers part. although I did handle a lot of the technical support in those early days when we were such a small company then. It's definitely a very different world. And now the last few years, stepping more into entrepreneurship and building my own products and all that, that's a whole nother thing to learn for sure.
Yeah, it's no question. Like it's totally different. And as a plugin developer, which you're doing now, unfortunately, one of the things you got to be very careful of is security. Correct? Like that's a big issue. I know, people have developed plugins with AI, and AI doesn't seem to take into effect what best security practices are. I'm big on security. That's a big part of what I do. How do you answer that?
Well, I mean, obviously, like being CTO of WPMU Dev, we had a huge number of plugins and services, and security was a really big part of my role at that level. Whether it was like auditing our code, we do static code analysis, where we just like run it through, and it could identify a lot of things if things were missed. You know, you have your code sniffer and things like that to help identify like that you're following best practices and stuff like that. And I think a lot of those things, there's a lot of those automated tools they could help in conjunction with if you're doing coding with AI, using AI to help with your coding. It does help to be a developer already, I think. For the most part, my experience and the experience of people like I've talked to who have like tried to code plugins or do development using AI, you really do still need kind of those developer skills and the overall knowledge to be able to put everything together. What it really does is it's an accelerator. It's not really a replacement in and of itself. So I think having that overall knowledge and skills is still very important when it comes to coding with AI. But it can really accelerate your speed, you know.
What I would argue with it is there's a lot of people are scared of AI, and we know those people out there in tons. Oh, they play the doomsday effect. Oh, jobs are going to disappear. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Well, most of the people in WordPress use page builders of Gutenberg. And in essence, that's a replacement for doing hand coding. And I haven't seen development jobs disappear. And there's this wonderful device that came around in history called the printing press. And I think you know where I'm going to go with this is the printing press just accelerated books being produced, right? We still have authors and writers. I don't think AI is going to hurt jobs. I think it's going to shift the marketplace around a little bit.
Yeah, I think with any technology, it's just disruption and shifting. And what the key always comes to be, no matter what the new technology is your flexibility and ability to learn.
That's true.
There'll always be something for you as long as you're able to be flexible and always be learning and always be finding new ways to apply yourself and use these new tools to accelerate your own career and job rather than replacing
it. No question in that one. I'm still at my age a book a week guy. I'm still a consumer of other podcasts besides my own because they're great learning tools. And I think if you're going to play in the space, it's changing so much and so rapidly that you've got to stay up to date kind of, right? I mean, it's not like 5 years ago where things changed every 6 months and 5 years before that every year. Now we're changing stuff like weekly and daily. It's crazy up there.
Yeah, it does get stressful trying to keep up with the pace. Oh my gosh, with this in this AI world, you have new models, new inventions, new techniques that are dropping every day. And it's just like having a business in that space is definitely not an unstressful thing.
and then we've even got the leadership problems in AI. The head of OpenAI who got fired and rehired within a week, like that's got to be record time. And I still think Microsoft had a lot to do with that because they are a big consumer and producer to OpenAI, like they're a big partner in that. And I think they just went to the board and said, fix it or we're out. I have some sense that was kind of what happened. And I don't know if we'll ever know, but it's just really interesting.
Yeah, it definitely was quite the story to follow there.
Yeah, bit of a soap opera. AI. So you're getting into the AI space. What type of use cases are you using AI for?
Yeah. Gosh, well, let's start coding, I guess. I think it was about 2 years ago I subscribed to a GitHub Copilot, like right when it first launched. And when it came to just like plugin development and things like that for WordPress, that really accelerated it. And it's only gotten better since then. But I would say it's probably doubled my coding speed. And again, it's not like a replacement. It doesn't do all the work for you. It just does the busy work, you know.
division.
I kind of joke it's replacing the Googling Stack Overflow, you know. Yeah, basically that's it's just replacing that part of the developer workflow.
So true. Copilot's a Microsoft product, correct?
If I recall. Yeah. Yeah, and it's powered by OpenAI models.
Yeah. Well, there's the partnership right there.
Yeah. Exactly. And since then I've expanded, like they've had new Copilot features that have just launched, like chat-based editing and interfaces. And I also use a new IDE, like a code development environment, and it's called Cursor, which is really interesting. And that's also powered by like GPT-4 and some custom models that they have. And I'm kind of switching back and forth depending on the project, which one I use. The Cursor is definitely more advanced and a little bit further along in experimenting with like how AI can understand all your code and index like your entire code base to help kind of custom train it for that specific project you're working in.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different tools for that for the development side.
Yeah, there's so interesting. No kidding. And now you've got Google jumped in the middle of it, too. They have their own AI product. That one's been interesting in Canada because I don't know how much you know. The Canadian government and Google have been at each other over this dreaded thing called the Online News Act. And Google.
Yeah, finally, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And Australia is the other country. So it's absolutely ludicrous from my standpoint. I think it's just the government trying to control the narrative a little bit. We're back into that crap as far as I'm concerned. And it came down to Google agreed to pay publishers $100 million. We all know the newspaper business is going to be extinct soon by the dodo bird. I mean, it's like done, right? So,
right.
And when that happened, Google actually came out in Canada and said, we're not going to allow our AI product to be used in Canada, even by paid users. Oh, was there a revolt? Because at the time, I'm not anymore. I was a Google Workspaces user for email. And they're like saying, oh, we don't care you're paying for our product, but because of the crap in Canada, we're not going to give you our product. And it was just like, really?
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's been some salvos fired there. I know there's been multiple companies that have prohibited AI to be used in their company for anything. I've heard that. And then we all know there's certainly a copyright issue with pictures in AI. Getty Images is not a happy camper these days from what I hear, because they have a whole team of patent trolls, and all they do is run around sending, pay us this some money or we'll sue you. So that hasn't helped them. How do you think about all those issues?
That's definitely like something to consider. I think like I'm always of the mentality, like move fast and break things, you know, and
me too.
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yep.
And I think the companies that are like being overly cautious like that, they're going to be falling behind quickly. You know, it's the ones that are doing like I led at WPMU Dev. We had kind of a AI everywhere kind of initiative. And it was just like, all right, guys, let's just have like some hacking time and just play with this. See how it can improve your workflows. You know, see if ChatGPT, we actually spun up kind of like an internal like private ChatGPT interface for all our employees so that they could use it for helping with translating support tickets, things like that. And just different experiments like that. Like how can it be used, you know, kind of like hosting hackathons, you know, maybe with your developers saying, okay, why don't you try building like some proof of concepts and see if this could be something that could be productized or make the business more efficient, that kinds of things. And there's definitely, obviously, you have to be cautious when it comes to like IP and things like that. But I think there's a lot of protections there, like that you can work around still and be safe.
We're seeing even hosting companies jump in. GoDaddy's now got an AI product. Full Digital, in conjunction with their Bluehost brand, has an AI product right now for doing e-commerce stuff. It's just really fascinating the use cases that are coming out to handle this stuff. It really is. Like,
Yeah, I went to WordCamp US a few months ago, and it's just funny. Every booth, they have some big banner about AI that, you know, is just the latest hot keyword. They have to have something, even if it's some more boring integration, you know. But as far as like the legal stuff, it's been an interesting development. Has been a lot of these big companies like OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, different things. They've actually introduced like legal shelter programs. So basically, mm-hmm. they say if you use our services, that we will back you up legally. If you're sued for copyright infringement, then we will take on that legal responsibility for fighting that case for you. So that's a really interesting development. I don't think we've ever seen in tech before, but they're thinking ahead, like, okay, how do we get ahead of this regulatory thing? And how do we get enterprises and stuff to feel okay, feel safe about onboarding and trying out these new technologies? And so they've kind of put their money where their mouth is to add some legal protections for their users, which is really interesting. So that's something to consider too.
And copywriting is getting a lot of use from AI too. I know right now as the holiday season comes at time of this record, I'm working on changing some content on my website, my own personal, my business agency site. And what I'm doing is I'm using AI to rough out some of the copy, and then I go in and alter it. And I'll tell you, like you do with coding, that puts me miles ahead from a time perspective, because I have a starter template right in front of me, and then I can go adjust it as need be.
Yeah, that's, I think it's definitely better in those use cases. I've found it's most valuable for like ideation, coming up with ideas, being kind of like your assistant in a back and forth process. Rather, like if I write a blog post, I'll often use it to help me like generate an outline, and then maybe I'll write like certain paragraphs, and then I'll have it expand on that for me or rewrite it. So I've never really had success just having it completely do a writing job for me. But when it comes to like improving or giving ideas or alternatives to titles, ad copy, things like that, it's really excels at that right now, I think. And a lot of people that like criticize the AI, they say, oh, I can tell it's AI written. Oh, it's dumb, shallow content. And I think that they're trying to use it wrong. The best use case is that kind of back and forth process of improving incrementally.
I agree with that. Any other really good use cases for AI come to your mind?
First off, like the products that I built more recently, I started with Imagine AI, which was the basically I was watching when DALL-E 2 came out. I was just amazed at like the AI images that it could generate, you know. And back then it was very restricted. Like you were on like huge waiting list just to get access to try it, you know, in OpenAI's dashboard. And so I was following really closely when Stability released their own like open source image model, Stability AI. Mm-hmm. And basically I was like, I'll subscribe to that. And I'm like, I am not going to miss this wave. Like the second it becomes feasible, I want to like build things with it, you know? So, basically, they dropped the model weights on the weekend, the open model weights for their image model. And then I just did like a hackathon over that weekend, and I recorded kind of a screen share of like a demo of a Gutenberg widget where you could just type in, you know, and generate an image like right within the WordPress editor. And that kind of went viral on Twitter. And I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome, you know, because it was the first time anyone was able to access these image generation things. So over the next like week or two, I actually built the Imagine AI plugin, which was basically, that's how it works. It's a Gutenberg block where you can easily create an AI image. And of course, since then, as it's become available, like it's in everything, in Jetpack and every theme, they all have their own AI text and image generation, you know. But that was kind of my first.
Yeah, and then you've got the guys over at Bertha.ai, if you've played with that product.
Yes, yeah.
They've done a really good job there. And then you've got, Dustin Stoud, he's got an interesting project called Magi. I can't remember how to pronounce it. Basically, it's a front end for OpenAI, so it allows you to save all your stuff in like folders and stuff. So it's really cool from that. So there's all kinds of cool stuff coming out in this space. And every time I think I've seen it all, somebody comes out with something even more interesting. It's just crazy. Right?
That's for sure. So, I mean, obviously that's one use case. What I've been working on more recently is more of like a business to business product, and it's called DocSpot AI. And so that allows you to basically custom train ChatGPT on like your website, on your company documentation. You can connect it to like Google Drive or Notion or all kinds of different data sources to custom train your chatbots. And then you can embed that chatbot in your WordPress site. You can embed it like in your internal team Slack, basically anywhere. You can use our API to integrate it with your products and things like that. So the idea is, like, everyone knows, okay, ChatGPT, like how useful it is, and it can do so many different things. But the idea is that what if you could custom train that and then integrate that easily into anywhere you can imagine, you know, whether it's your WordPress plugin or your site for your customers. So
that's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Notion's already got AI built into it in the project themselves too, don't they, at this point?
Yeah, they're playing catch up with me.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, but that is definitely the challenge in building like a business in this space, is you have all the incumbents that already have the customers and they're building these features like built in to the product. And so that's kind of scary. At least I'm in the place where you can integrate all those different things into your own chatbots, you know, that you can use for different use cases. So we have businesses, we have a lot of WordPress businesses, obviously, because of my connections and network there, that are using it for customer support. So a front-end customer support. So whether it's Automattic or Dolly or Extendify, I mean, there's a lot of different companies that are using it, either via like our chat widget or like they're using it to automatically draft replies to like support emails and things like that.
Yeah.
So it already knows all your documentation, already knows everything about your product, and then it's able to automatically draft those things. And it really increases like your support speed. We're seeing like 80 to 90% deflection rates. So that's that many fewer tickets that you're having to answer, which is pretty amazing.
That's awesome. One of the things I've used OpenAI ChatGPT for is, I had a client who wanted an email sequence. He wanted like 8 emails, and it was like a $4,000 product. And OpenAI did like 80% of the work, 85%. Yeah. And then I went in and customized it. But and you know, people would argue and say, "Why are we paying for that? Because you didn't do the work." And my argument always is, those who know how to use the tools are the most valuable people out there, right? So I'm I'm not against using tools to maximize my work. I use them all the time, and this is just another big one.
Interesting. I think that kind of reminds me of, like, in the marketing world, you know, you have personas. You try to like categorize your customers into different groups so that you can target them with specific messaging. I think something that AI is unlocking, and I don't think many people have taken advantage of that, is the ability to like personalize things to like a persona of one. So instead of like grouping people into a certain group, you can specifically target each user with custom messaging as if they had their own like full-time like customer representative, sales representative that's dedicated to them. You can use AI to automate a lot of that in more low ticket businesses. So what I've been doing with DocSpot is, we have, of course, just like any like SaaS, like someone signs up for the trial and then they get like a welcome email, right? But what I actually do is I have them kind of self categories when they sign up. They say, is this for business use? And if so, what's your business website? So that's part of like our sign up process. And then I've trained one of our bots to actually go. And once they do that, it actually goes and it reads their website. So we crawl their website and then we have, I have a very like custom, well-tested like chat GPT-4 prompt that actually says, okay, based on the description of their business from their website and what they do, and based on your training of what DocSpot does, write like a custom email that suggests, gives specific suggestions of how our product can be used for their business. And it's, that's right. The output is amazing. I'm like blown away every time.
I bet. And you mentioned marketing. So that's a great segue, because one of the other things we wanted to talk about is some of these marketing experiments you're doing. So mm-hmm. I think we'll take the opportunity to talk about this. What have you noticed out there with marketing and what's going on?
Well, like I say, in the Persona 1, I think that's like a big untapped thing.
I mean,
obviously everyone's using it to generate images. I use it for a lot of like creating images for ads and posts and tweets mm-hmm. and things like that. And even have gotten into video generation. So doing like image to video things with AI. Now that mm-hmm. There's Runway ML that does that. There's something called Pika, I think, that's another paid service. And now Stability AI just launched a open free model called Stable Video Diffusion. Yep. And so that allows you to take an image and turn it into like a kind of brief like video, which is kind of cool. And that kind of, I've noticed that gets a lot more attention like in my tweets or things like that, to have like a little video clip. That's custom to whatever your post is. That's a basic idea.
Yeah, I would argue with you, video will always get clips. I mean, even in terms of things like podcasting, it's funny because I started doing podcasting. When I started, I did audio only. And if I'd known better, I would have started video a long, long time ago. And video just seems, it doesn't matter if it's a short clip, a longer clip, it just seems to generate better views and put more eyes and ears on stuff. So that's a good thing, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And so you have the personalization stuff like that with images. And then, of course, people using it for copywriting, which is probably the most obvious use case. But my favorite is like that Persona 1 thing that I'm experimenting with, to where what I would love to do is like, say I have like an email flow, like an onboarding email flow for my SaaS. So you're suggesting all these different things. You have a series of 5-10 emails, whatever, that they go through to try to get them onboarded in your app. And the idea is to take like that stock one that I've written, and then with knowledge of the customer and their business, have AI rewrite it to be personalized and customized to them, you know? So I've started that process kind of with our welcome email, and that's working really well. Like the conversion rate on that is so much higher than the generic welcome email. And it's amazing. Like people even reply to me. Like most people don't even realize that it's AI. Occasionally people like reply like, was this written by AI? This is the best AI written email I've ever seen, you know. And that's because it's not just making stuff up, it's actually grounded in training the bot from their business and from my business, so it knows all that information to be able to custom write that bespoke email and give them suggestions for how they could use it, you know. And it's things that I would never think of, like even if I, it's better than I could do myself. So
personalization goes a long way in marketing. Like people don't realize that the more personal you make it, the more likely you're going to trigger somebody's disruption, as we call it, because we all know marketing is all about disrupting the customer, the potential customer, right? And personalizing seems to get it done better than not.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really cool use case.
Yeah, what other good use cases in marketing and AI have you found?
I haven't tried this yet, but I saw a product that really fascinated me, and it was basically AI automated A/B testing. So if you're doing conversion rate optimization for your website.
Yep.
Which is classic, you know, and you like try different like designs or layouts or different headings, you know, stuff like that. But this actually, like in your code, you like paste like just like a placeholder. You're like, okay, here's the thing I want to test, right? I want to test this heading, or I want to test this thing. And it actually uses AI to write new like versions and automatically test them, like dynamically replace them on your website. And then, and then, so maybe it's testing three different variations, right? And then once it gets statistical, you know, conclusion that, okay, this one is winning, then it will take that and pass that back to the AI model to generate more options based on the ones that you're using, to keep continually optimizing it. So I think that's kind of like a future thing that I could imagine, that like every website, every marketing campaign and things like that, instead of like creating these variations yourself and running these tests yourself, that's something that AI could easily handle and continually optimize the text, continually optimize the layout of your website to get better and better, you know, on its own.
That's a great use case. Thanks for talking about AI, what you do, what you're working on. If somebody wants to talk more AI with you or anything else to do with your SaaS products, what's the best way?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. That's where I'm real active, and that's at UglyRobotDev. I'm always talking about like what I'm building and experimenting with and things like that there. And of course, if you are interested in using AI for your business or training custom chatbots, then DocSpot, that's DocSbot.ai is what I'm working on full time there.
Thanks, Aaron, for your time. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com, your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. A very special thank you to Aaron for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the SDM Show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me, so feel free. If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com, or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me at Rob Cairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much, and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast, and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.